and welcome to the Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcast podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm very tired again and conscious of my aging.
It's a very bleak way of introducing things.
I've just been knackered since the weekend.
Yeah, and what a weekend that was, by the way.
Yeah, it's unbelievable weekend, which we'll talk about later, but I can't recover doing things. I need a couple of days to not do things now. I'm very conscious that I am hurtling towards a grave. But yeah, hi listener.
Yeah, yes, hi listener. Indeed, we have fucking hell.
I am.
Sorry, you're gonna be able to do this.
I am. Yes.
All right.
Well, David, there's no other day to do it.
That's fair. Yeah. And on this particular day, we will be talking about three games, one away, two at home.
Yes.
We've got your regular hots or nots, a couple of previews of...
The second worst and the worst team in it.
Oh, Kromiarishan Sparta B.
Kromiarishan Vlashim.
Vlashim,
or okay. Actually, more accurately, Vlashim and Kromiarishan. Kromiarishan on Sunday.
Yes. Right. Yeah, we've got those, and we've got your beer of the podcast, and a couple of other fwidgeries as well. So without much more of a yawn, there he goes again, let's talk about Ustinad Labem away. Right, so 3 weeks ago, you and I and Sean Glacken, who is over from Ireland, former Sprovka come with tour, that's the technical term, I believe, came over for the weekend and we all trekked up to Usti on a Friday, wasn't it? It was a Friday morning for a 5 p.m.-ish game.
Yes.
And it's a long way.
It wasn't, the journey's never that bad, though.
No, it isn't.
You just go to Prague.
Prague and change. So, yeah, it's not that bad. The game was one of the toughest we've had this season. Coming out of it with a win, spoiler alert, we won, was a remarkable achievement. More through luck than judgment a lot of the time,
yeah,
I would say. But we did come away with a 1-0 win. A Patrick Chavosh goal sort of midway through the first half. The first half was pretty evenly matched, I would say. And then the second half, we just went back and back and back and back and back. And it was knocking the occasional long ball for Benny and Control-C, Control-V, Georgievsky to chase. And if Usti were any great shakes at taking set pieces, they could have put 3 or 4 past us.
Yeah, I could just move on, actually. I think it would be remiss to... even before talking about the game, we had a very pleasant journey up to Usti in the company of a visiting tourist from Argentina.
Yes, we did, didn't we? Yes.
I've forgotten his name, unfortunately, now, but it was lovely to meet him. And
He looked both petrified and overjoyed at the same point. We bought him a beer, which was a fun thing to do. But yeah, because we had 3 reserve seats and he was the 4th one around the little tiny table. So
yeah, an Irish couple got very upset that we said these were our seats, and then they said there's no reservation, to which we pointed at
the small screen that said reservation, and off they grumbled.
So they were quite annoyed, but on the other hand, fuck them. But the the Argentinian lad, he might have been called Daniel. Yeah, I'm probably wrong there. But it was very pleasant company. It was nice to meet him. It would be remiss to not talk about the Chavosh goal in terms of a finish. It was particularly if you see the reverse angle of it, because we kind of see it from the opposite side of the pitch when you're in the stand. It's a very how would you describe it? Cultured.
Yes, a hit. Very. I mean, he's not a goal scorer. It's not his job. But as our resident kind of shuttly box to box midfielder. Yeah, it's a lovely finish, worthy of anyone, really.
Yes.
A rare moment of quality in what was a game low on quality.
It was It was a bit plodding for a lot of it. And then Usti sensed that they could get something out of this. Mm. Which is a reasonable assumption. And it was very back to the wall at the end. It was last ditch. It didn't seem like it for the last 20, 25 minutes it was ever out of the Zbrojovka half.
Yeah.
Really, which obviously demanded good performances from, you know, like players like Kaká, for example, and, you know, being able to sort of weather the storm, you know, follow up, you know, when balls are sort of cleared. It's very a big 3 points on the road.
Yes, absolutely. Props to Adam Hrnida, who
will not make a better save this season.
Who did his heroics, pardon the pun, in the 94th minute to keep basically a point blank header. He, you know, turned it over the bar acrobatically. And yeah, as you mentioned, props to Kaká, who since starting his first league game against Žižkov has absolutely cemented his place in that back line. Looks like one of the best defenders we have at the club right now. And he's only just turned 21, remember. Mm-hmm. And he looks, you know, if not a Rolls Royce, then certainly a, you know, Lexus, yes, of a defender for this level. Shall we also mention post-game frivolities?
Yes.
We went to Chalupka, was it called? I think.
Yes, which is just the other side of the stadium. Very nice. Very, yes, pleasant.
Yeah, pub. Very nice pub.
Friendly people.
Yeah, great music selection, fantastic beers on tap.
There was a good music selection, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't like on a jukebox or anything. They just had a really good playlist on of, like, you know, 90s, 2000s guitar, pop, yeah, and rock. Yeah, just good pub background music, honestly, which you don't normally get in this country very much. They only put on, like, Radio Crocodile and just let it run.
Yeah.
Adverts and all. So this was quite a nice change. So, yeah, Usti was... Yeah, it was good. We should also mention
we had good company in that pub.
Yes. Hello, Sam and Dan.
Yes, good.
Yes.
Hello.
And we should also mention one of the weirdest places we've stayed in.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre. We got to the place that we'd booked, and it was like a flat with like three beds in it. It did have three beds in it, to be fair. One was in the kitchen, but, you know, needs, yeah, must. But we found the address, and it was a primary school. We thought, this can't be right.
It wasn't even a primary school. It was more like a nursery.
Yes, that's right. There was a primary over the road.
Yes, and then because it was all like the garden had things like a mini racing track and these sorts of, yeah, things on it.
Going, you know, which was fun.
And you go, well, this is the number.
Yeah.
So how is this going to work?
So I phoned the number on the reservation, and a very convivial bloke turned up in about 5 minutes.
He was very very friendly.
Yeah. Showed us the keys and showed us around, and we were basically staying in a flat in the basement of a nursery school.
Yes.
This is very odd indeed. But yeah, it worked, you know, somewhere to sleep.
Yeah, I've never thrown up in a nursery school at 2 o'clock in the morning. I guess that's
yeah. That's something to be said, I suppose.
Yeah, I wasn't on great form after the match, it must be said. But yes, it was a good stopover, and it was reasonably straightforward to get back to Brno as well.
Yeah. Right, that about sums that up, I think. Shall we do hots and knots and knots and hots? That's a thumb up. Okay,
sure.
Good. They're hot and not, and hot and hot and not. Yeah, guys.
Yes, it's hot or not. We've been doing it for long enough.
Yes.
I don't know sort of how we're going to do this. I mean, I've technically got one of each.
I mean, I've definitely got one of each. I know what your hot is, so we'll give more time to that, would say. My hot, very quickly, is the Spanish Footballers Union.
Okay.
We talked about this a little while ago. The plan to move the Barcelona versus Real Madrid match to Madrid Miami.
Yes.
Miami, getting my large M cities mixed up there.
Moving it to Madrid would be, I guess, forfeiting, like forfeiting the you know, a home game.
Yes, and that was supposed to be on December 20th, and the promoters have decided to pull the plug because over the weekend, every La Liga game began with every player refusing to play for the first 15 seconds of the game in an every team takes part protest because the Spanish Footballers Union basically said nobody's been consulted about this and we should all in solidarity just make this statement, which every single player from every single club did over every fixture over the weekend. And then on Tuesday, the announcement came through that the promoters, Relevant Sports, I think they were called, basically they got cold feet, citing, quote, the uncertainty generated in Spain in the last few weeks, end quote. So it looks like the sight of players actually making a stand, albeit brief, was something they absolutely would not want on their TV screens as part of a product.
Do we have to funnel everything in sport through either Americans or people in the Middle East now?
Yes, unluckily. That seems to be the way we're going.
This is the annoyance. And
I mean, big football, yes.
Big football, capital B.
Yeah.
You've just had the Club World Cup, which most of you weren't that interested in. So why are you having to do this? I don't know.
No, I don't either. But that's, you know, at least that's one little bit of, you know, high level player power that seems to have worked, at least for the time being. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can I also just mention the other way is also deeply weird. Like when like two random American football teams have like a league match or whatever they call it, a division tie or whatever in like London. It's also just strange the other way. Don't do it.
Okay. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Do you have a something?
Yeah,
a
do you want my not?
Yeah, after your not.
It's the poor, innocent supporters of Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Oh, yes. Crimea. Yeah, so, Crimea River for those guys.
I mean, it's now been a while, and for anyone paying paying attention, there is nothing like a war and murder of people to make people completely lose the plot about absolutely everything. So the uproar that West Midlands police, but far be me to side with the police, to say you can't have Maccabi Tel Aviv fans coming to the game for safety concerns, was obviously met with this cry of, you know, sort of anti-Semitism, yeah. This cry of, this has never happened to anyone before, despite the fact that Villa
apart from all the times it has.
Well, I mean, Villa did it 2 years ago to Legia Warsaw. No one was saying that there's anti-Polish discrimination.
By
the way, there is, but...
And also, you know, thank you, Liverpool, for getting all English clubs, including Coventry, banned from Europe for 5 years. That happened.
That was... I've been on this earth less than the time that's happened.
But still, you know, there is precedent in many ways.
I mean, there's also precedent for like Maccabi Tel Aviv, who have been banned from Amsterdam, for example. I wanted to raise this particular thing that I quite enjoyed, this exchange a few days ago in Parliament, which is by everyone's least favourite former Tory leader, Ian Duncan-Smith. Ian Duncan-Smith says that when Maccabi played a game in Istanbul, there was no trouble at all. Ian Byrne MP had to point out that UEFA moved the game to Hungary after the Turkish authorities refused to stage it, and the Hungarian authorities then played it behind closed doors, hence no trouble.
Yep.
Look, I mean, I was going to say I don't care about where you stand on the issue of Israel and Palestine. I do, but it's not really for this podcast. But regardless of these sorts of views, like Maccabi Tel Aviv, like ultras/hooligans, they're not good people. They're going to come and they're going to set things on fire and they're going to chant racist chants for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you want that coming to your city, wherever, you know, you side on that, you know, sort of thing, just maybe don't.
Yeah.
The Maccabees!
Yes, I feel that's all we need to say on that, really, honestly.
I mean, I could say more, but it's just boring.
Yeah. I've got a very quick knot. And my knot is poor old Horace Pearson.
Horace Pearson.
Yes, Horace Pearson.
That's an AI generated name.
No, it's not. Since 1934, he's had the record of Coventry's most minutes without conceding.
Oh, he's just an old fella.
608 minutes. Yes. Now dead, I assume.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, now surpassed by Carl Rushworth, who's pushed it up by 5 minutes to 613 minutes.
Until you conceded last night.
Yes, 90th plus six. That's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't care, considering that you've won again.
Yeah, it's going so well that it actually really annoyed me, which is a situation, as a Coventry fan, I have never had.
I mean, far from me to tell you to not jinx it, but...
Well, yeah, there we go.
Enjoy it while it lasts. It might last.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We've got a final hot, and I guess it's a combined hot.
Yes. Really.
Yes. Do you want to take the lead on this?
Yeah, it was our trip to London and the announcement that Zbrojovcast now officially sponsor a footballer.
Yes. This was... a decision that was made.
It certainly was, David. We had a wonderful day out on Saturday afternoon going to see Fisher FC, who I believe play in the ninth tier of the English football pyramid, and are very much in the spirit of a real community club. As in, we got a very warm welcome when we turned up.
Yes.
And everyone did, and that was very nice. So we were there to take in Fisher against Staining Town in the FA Vase / Vase, depending on your, I don't know, sexuality, first round.
or like Billy Bragg.
Which, good. went straight to penalties. There was a penalty shootout, and the... a good time was had by all, but mostly the home fans.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Fisher won on penalties. We wended our way after many cans of the excellent beer that they have there to see if we could get another couple, because we didn't necessarily have any immediate rush to go home.
Significantly cheaper than a lot of pubs in London.
Than basically anywhere in London, yeah. So, yeah, and we got talking to people, and you saw that in the programme, a proper printed programme, by the way.
Yes, which I still have.
Of course. That, yeah, for £50, you could sponsor a player. And...
for the whole season?
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm not a bargain hunter. But that's... I think that's a lovely way to support a club.
Yeah.
So we are now proud sponsors of Fisher's number 5, Ange Janja, I believe.
Ange Janja, yeah.
So sorry if we are butchering your surname, Ange. We got to meet AJ, the manager.
AJ, the manager.
We got to meet people behind the scenes.
Ian
and Paul.
Hello, Ian and Paul.
Yes, I will be sending them an email once we get this released to, again, thank them for their hospitality and also to make sure that they get a proper shout out. And hopefully we'll have a chance to come and see Fisher FC again before the end of the season.
Yes, we gave them some stickers as a...
And I will,
as a hooray.
I will probably send them more stickers as well. And if there's a chance to get some sort of match-worn shirt, which I believe they do, then I'll also get that, and we'll cart it around the stadium a bit and get some photos and things like that.
I actually showed Jarek, one of the big older Ultras guys. Yes. He does the like stickers and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I showed him the photos of our stuff on the where we stuck them on the on the plastic bit. He seemed overjoyed.
That's good.
By the whole thing.
There is a big thing about getting Zbrojovka stickers wherever, in some of the weirdest places.
There really is, yeah,
there?
Yeah, yeah. Because I got a couple up at the stadium in Portland. There are pictures of them in, like, Thailand and, in the A-League or whatever, so...
I mean, this was a watershed moment for me, David, because I very rarely stick up Zbrojovka stickers, because what will happen is I'll be on a flight and go... Oh, damn, I forgot the stickers. Mm. And I have a shoebox in my bedroom, and it is filled with just hundreds of stickers going back years. In the same way as, you know, your granddad that didn't trust banks kept his money, under the bed in one of them. So it's a bit like that. But if you have the time and you want to see some real football on an afternoon... in South London. No, you know, no pomp, no circumstance, none of this sort of 20 quid for a hot dog nonsense. And, you know, Groundhoppers were there, knowledgeable football people were there. It was a real football person's. Yeah.
Hello, Neil, by the way.
Yes, hello, Neil, who you were talking, who knew a surprising amount of stuff about Brno.
And the Czech Republic in general.
Yes.
Yeah. Zidlochovice came up in conversation, which was unbelievable, by the way.
Just wonderful. Yeah. Yes. I just had a great time.
Yes.
And I got absolutely steaming. So, yeah, perfect.
Right. So that's our hot and not. We have...
If you would like to sponsor Zborojovcast, we spent a lot of money this weekend. So please message us.
Yeah, great. Right. After this... little break, we are going to talk about two home games in the same section back-to-back, I think, because neither of us were at the first one and only I was at the second one. So we'll rip through those fairly quickly after this. So, while we were taking in the delights of... Fisher nil, Staining Town nil.
Bracket 4-2 on penalties, I think.
Something
it was.
Like that. Zborovka were sort of strolling to a comfortable 4-1 home win against Banik Ostrava B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as a quick thing that I forgot to mention.
Oh yeah.
On the in our last section, there is a group called the Fisher Film Crew that actually film the matches for Fisher, so you can actually see the shootout and some highlights of the match over on I believe on YouTube, but they're also on social media.
Okay. Cool. Nice. It's just so something that we've sort of only just started to do as an actual professional Czech club here. Get any sort of decent social media up and running.
It's quite something. Can I just also, just on that point then, shout out the league's own highlights package for this this match against Banik B, which I don't know if you watched it, but it's edited so poorly that the footage just stops for about 3 or 4 seconds and then cuts to something else. And I was genuinely concerned that my internet wasn't working.
That's what I thought when I watched it. I thought there's something dodgy going on with the internet here, but it is just shite editing.
You are the National League. You are the second highest league in this whole country. Put together a bloody package properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, talking about putting packages together properly. That doesn't even work. Doesn't even work. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I'm going with that.
Are you about to talk about boys in shorts, David?
certainly am. Those red shorts. Are they red or blue? It might be blue this year. Who knows?
The unpopular UB40 follow-up single.
Oh, dear. Anyway, yeah, all things considered, a fairly comfortable win. We did concede our regulation goal.
Yes.
But after keeping a vital clean sheet against Usti, that's a minor annoyance. You know, he's no Carl Rushworth, Adam Hodadina, you know. But the first goal comes for us after 16 minutes as Vachosek holds off David Krupička with good strength on the right-hand side of the area and finishes with his right foot across the keeper from a tight angle. It's a really good goal, actually. Does well to stay on his feet. It's a really nice finish.
It sums up the tenacity that I think is a key attribute to Vachosek's game.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to mention about that, but I'm very happy that he's keeping up the momentum in terms of things like sort of scoring, making starts and so on. I think he's a cracking wee player.
Yeah, he's such a terrier, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Like, he really doesn't look great. I mean, flashing ahead to Opava, not much happened, but he was exactly the same. Like, he was a, you know, the little snappy bastard that he is.
He is the sort of player that just chases hopeless situations, and 99 times out of 100, right, because they're hopeless situations, nothing's going to happen, but it's the one time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if one of those, happens across the season, that can be, a real difference maker.
Absolutely. So yeah, he gets the first one, and then cliche alert, it was Vachosek at the double.
Yes.
After just a minute of the second half, Klima sending a low ball into the box, which...
sending a low ball into the box where there are absolutely no defenders anywhere near him.
And yeah, Tadeusz has time to bring the ball under control and just slot it low into the far corner from about 18 yards out. There's no one anywhere near him. So that was nice. Yes. Control C, Control V, Georgievski provides the assist for the third. Mm-hmm. Again, very few defenders around. He sort of dinks the ball from the byline and Janetsky just pokes it into a totally unguarded net. The keeper is in. Yeah. Is sort of guarding his near post to no effect whatsoever. And Reggie Cecilia, on for the last 10 minutes, completes the scoring from the penalty spot after Patrick Niokota brings down Canifonas Adam Kronos. And that makes it six wins on the spin for Zbrojovka.
Absolutely. Bloody hell, they can't defend, though, can they?
Absolutely shocking.
You might have recalled a previous Zbrojovcast where I think I previewed this. Or even last season, I might have made a very similar preview where I said something like, oh, wow, don't Banik B concede a hell of a lot of goals? And you're starting to find out, well, that's why, because they're just really poor. Obviously, I think there's some really good hustle, particularly for the first goal, you know, from us.
Yeah.
But, those could have been quite easily prevented by, you know, just being competent, I think, being able to, sort of pick up with that there's people in your box having...
Yeah, stand near the stripy men.
Yes, being quite tall but not getting out-muscled, all this sort of stuff. So, really, I was going to say, if I was a Banik B fan, and let's be clear, no one is, you know, you'd be fizzing at that. But they have bigger fish to fry, of course, the A-team.
Yes.
But these are the sort of games that you get confidence from, putting points up on the board. So all in all, even with the blot on the copybook with another kind of sloppily conceded goal, to be fair to them, it's quite a good finish. But good day at the office.
Yes, absolutely. And then on Tuesday, it was a fairly quick turnaround. We had, that will be two nights ago when this goes out. myself, Liam, Kevin, Philip, Jack and Pavel were all at the stadium for a 6 p.m. kickoff against Slezsky Footballovy Club of Opava, who brought a decent number of fans, actually.
They did.
150, 200 maybe. Decent effort, big old choreo
for
at some
Tuesday
point.
Tuesday night.
For Tuesday
you
night.
You have to say fair play.
Yeah. It's a fair trek as well.
Yeah. Over 5,000 at the game, I read.
Yeah, 5,200 odd, I think.
For a
yeah.
Tuesday?
Yeah,
that
decent.
Is crazy.
Yeah. Their choreo read, it was something like...
I saw this.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it not theatre? That's the question. And it was referring to Zbrojovka getting this match postponed because of an illness that swept through the squad into early September, which would be a weird thing to try and get it suspended for instead of playing on a balmy Saturday afternoon at the start of September on a cold Tuesday night in midweek.
Yes. This is Rich coming from your team after last season, where, but this time at least you didn't refuse to a postponement and made us play twice in 3 days or whatever with a depleted squad. Opava.
Overall it was an entertaining but frustrating encounter, basically with two good teams defending well,
yes,
and relatively deep. And counter-attacking, but neither managing to produce anything of real note. Vakolchek, as mentioned, was lively again. Texel had a good first half, sort of bursting through from midfield, from sort of defensive midfield now and again. Picking his moments. While for the visitors, the rangy El Hajandai, 5 goals already this season, and you can see why, honestly. He was a nuisance, but... Yeah, it was just very well matched. We had a good 15 to 20 minute spell towards the end of the game with Vakolchek missing a great chance after having done all the hard work, which reminded me very much of Oli Velich a couple of weeks ago when he does, takes it past 3 people, only the keeper to beat, absolutely spoons it.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal here with young Tadeusz. But in the end, a point, not a bad result against one of the best, if not the best, visiting team I've seen this season.
Yeah, it does read, frankly, like a match that you would expect on a Tuesday evening on the 21st of October, with about 5 weeks left, not even actually 3 weeks left of the footballing year before the break. I was trying to follow this from a dentist's chair, because one of the problems...
Joyous.
Well, one of the problems, right, of when you reschedule a weekend match to a weekday is sometimes you have other things that have been booked for some months, and that includes my dentist appointment. And if you're wondering, and you are based in the UK, a listener, the wait for dentist appointments is about the same wait here as it is back there. So I was absolutely not giving that up.
No. But yeah, I mean, it was you know, overall a decent quality game between two teams who both know they are, I mean, one very much in the running and one only slightly less in the running for the promotion charge. And just neither wanted to make a mistake. I think, basically neither team wanted to lose.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fair enough.
Yeah. Very interesting fixtures for Opava coming up.
Yes.
Opava on Saturday's 25th, isn't it? Yes. Saturday, Opava are back here. They're away
to Artis.
At Artis Brno. And then they are...
All those fans having a lovely, a lovely four nights in the big city. Yeah. Staying over.
And then the one that's, I think, the most important for all of us is that they are at home to Tabor.
They are, yes.
So this is why a 0-0 is better for us than it is for those teams. You know, Tabor, a point behind. We've got now all the, you know, everyone on 13 matches. And, of course, Brojovka's fixtures, we're going to go into the previews shortly. Our last three games of the season are against the teams that are currently 14th, 15th and 16th in the table. So, and we've got a bit of a jolly in the cup, which might be the side of 2025, we'll see. So, really ball in our court.
Yeah. Shall we talk about the first of those teams we have to play after this little break?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Vlashim, bracket A. That's because we're away, David.
Yes, right.
26th of October. So that means it's a Sunday. It's also in Vlashim. There is... what's the word? No hope in hell that I'm going to be at this match. Because Vlashim is a rubbish town and it's difficult to get back from on a Sunday.
I mean, it's difficult to get back from most of the time, honestly.
Yes. Are you going?
No.
So that's your preview, listener. No, if only it were that simple.
Is it? It's this Sunday, isn't it?
It is this Sunday.
I'm playing music with D.
Very good. Hi, D.
Hello, D.
D is not listening.
Not listening, obviously.
It's all gone a little bit wrong for Vlashim this season.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Well, sort of.
I mean, nobody cares.
I don't know, like, because when I think of Vlashim of, like, a few years ago, right? I mean, I would always have them as an archetypal upper mid-table team that will finish about sixth or seventh in a given season. Occasionally they'll have a foray a little bit higher up. They have been involved in some of my favourite matches in the second tier when they've had players that are really attacking, so on. They had an agreement for a while that went south with Slavia.
That's true,
You know, it's only...
Was it Vlashim that were hosting that lad who eventually went to Brighton or Stoke? Well, he went to Brighton, then was on loan at Stoke.
And then he went to Rangers. Yes.
Yeah. That was Vlashim, wasn't it? I think it was.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway.
Should have looked that up, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, but... yeah, so it's not the start that they've sort of looked for. Well, they did get into the playoffs as well, like three seasons ago.
That's
as
true.
Well.
So
it's not the start that they've looked for, and by all accounts, I think they've looked poor this season. They are picking up a bit of form.
Mm.
So they've been, they were unbeaten in four, and then they went down to Žižkov last weekend, which is their seventh defeat this season. I never thought we'd be saying this, but with Kromier Žiž breathing down their necks and only a point behind.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because there was at one point I thought that Kromier Žiž were going to get no points at all this season.
They've started, you know, sort of clanking slowly along at the back
there. It's getting awfully tight down there. It is really getting awfully tight. So it's worth keeping in mind, actually, that Vlasin beat Kromier Žiž 5-0 back in August. So, it's just... there was this inexplicable 9 losses in a row to start off the season for Kromier Žiž. There was one team I thought might do that, and it certainly wasn't them. I thought it'd be Česká Budějovice, but they ended up picking up some stuff. I guess, you know, the question now is, can they save themselves? In short, yes. So both are now showing signs of life again. They're not cut off at the bottom. I think that's really important to mention, because a couple of favourable results get us right back into it. I would be concerned if I was a Jihlava supporter or a Hrugim supporter.
Yes, Jihlava have, you know, whisper it quietly, but have really started to struggle.
Yes, this is true. Sparta B, who are 40, Sparta B have only scored 10 goals this season. They've conceded 26. And they're 2 points ahead of them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Sparta B are not a good team, but we'll get onto that next podcast. So there's a lot to play for. I don't think that you necessarily require players that are familiar with the Czech second tier or come with a significant amount of experience to make success.
Sure.
At this level. I do think it helps. And looking around Vlasim's squad, the main thing...
Is that their theory as well?
Well, the thing it gets to me is the unfamiliarity of a lot of the players, actually. So you have exceptions, naturally. So, I mean, the one that that screams out to you, Jiří Kulhánek, club for a few seasons now. He has a lot of experience. So if people aren't so familiar with... Kulhánek. He was one of these Sparta players that wasn't really good enough for them. So he spent a lot of his career being loaned out. So yes. I went down the rabbit hole a little bit here. He had 7 loans and appeared for Sparta just 17 times.
Okay.
Most of those 17 appearances were in the 2017-2018 season,
right,
which you might remember when Sparta were fifth and looked absolutely rubbish.
Yes.
So... he is now closing in on about 150 appearances for Vlasim, so he knows this league well. What I quite liked, who they brought in, is Lukáš Bukvaldek. He's been there since
Bukvaldek,
September.
Yeah.
He's a 3-time second-tier champion. So he's just been released from Zlín, so again, I think that's good. You know how we always say there's a funny one?
Yeah.
I feel every team has a funny one as a transfer. So Vlasim's funny one is Douglas Bergqvist. He came in from Karvina. But Douglas Bergqvist played under Graham Potter at Östersund.
Lovely stuff.
So
you mean Sweden's Graham Potter?
Sweden's Graham Graham Potter. he's a Swedish Cup winner. Did not really work out for him last season in the top flight, so he is down in he's down there in Vlasim now. Literally down there in Vlasim. Outside of this, a lot of the transfer activities rested quite heavily, as expected, from like loans from the bigger clubs. And I don't necessarily mean big clubs.
Just bigger than Vlasim.
I don't consider Dukla Prague a big club, no. You know, in these sort of contexts of things. And it all seems a little bit like mismatched, I guess. So you have quite a lot of these sorts of 20 to 23-year-olds that I think get sent down to this league to toughen them up. And... you know, they feel quite a lot like unknown quantities, and it's, I think we'll come on to this later, it's like the opposite of the Kromier Žiž situation, who Kromier Žiž signed a lot of players, but I think the difference is that the players that Kromier Žiž signed were known, and known not to be good enough, where these are just completely like unknown quantities. So I guess maybe the last thing that I'll just say in this preview is that, you know, Vlasim are losing, right? They're losing quite often, but they aren't getting like blown out of the water.
Sure.
So there's quite a lot of 2-1 losses. If you go through the record, they've scored more than Příbram, they've scored more than Dynamo, they've scored more than Jihlava. So I am expecting them to put up a fight here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But if you look at this run where we're going to have... Yeah, and I know there's only like, you know, sort of 4 days between matches. But like, if you look at this match and then Kromier Žiž the week after, this feels to me like a silly one to lose. I mean, was there anything that you picked up on yesterday that, you know, you'd maybe like to see changed or improved?
Not really. I mean, previously I had said that I am quite happy with Rymarenko as backup to Velich, but after yesterday, I'd quite like to see Velich back. Rymarenko was a little bit anonymous, which is kind of a shame. Like I said, I've been really impressed with the way Kaká has stepped up. And otherwise, yeah, Tex are quietly impressive, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, it's obviously rotation.
Yeah.
But for a game like this, where it might be, as you say, you know, a little tricky away, I'd like to see Chavosh back just to give a little bit more steel.
They'll be in midfield. They'll be solid. Yeah. This is the thing. You know, Cool Hallett for this level is a perfectly fine centre back, you know. So you know, they will set themselves up like that as well. I think that's a good point on Velich. I would like to see Velich as well. For all that I enjoy Rymarenko, and I think that he's a good signing, every so often it's a little bit like, you know, when they had the food colouring in the Smarties, and some of them were, you know, for kids, and some of them were just totally fine, but things like the blue ones would every so often turn a child a little bit insane. I think that's a bit like Rymarenko. So, like, there'll be some games where he's like really focused and really in on it and really sort of making the runs, looking for the old, trying to get the ball, you know, at the edge of the box and to cut in. And sometimes I think he's just sort of bombs up, just going, ah, like that. So, and both are fine at times, but I don't think maybe against Vlashim. I think Rymarenko is a, you bring him on to freshen stuff up with 25 minutes to go.
Yeah. My last point is the guy who was at Slavia, then on loan at Vlashim, and then went to Brighton, Stoke, Rangers, etc. Abdallah Sima.
Yeah, Abdallah Sima, and it's a bit of a shame how his career's gone, because I thought he was going to be massive.
Yeah, Slavia, 11 goals in 24, no appearances for Brighton, 2 appearances for Stoke on loan. Then Angers, loan, 34 games, 5 goals, which was centre forward, a bit ropey. Then he was all right at Rangers.
He was pretty good at Rangers,
11 in 25. Then went on into Brest.
Brest.
Yeah, 7 in 27. And now he's permanently moved to Lens. So he's still in France, still in the top league.
Racing Club de.
That's right. RC Lens.
Good.
RC Lens he is. So that's lovely. That's your Sima for you. Would you like a Pivo for you?
Sure.
Okay. Da-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun. Oi! Beer of the podcast.
David.
Hello.
Oh, wait, the music bit comes in, doesn't it?
It's already been.
Ah, okay. As I was just going to say, before you said anything, you know when the city of Flint in Michigan, you know, it had that big lawsuit because the water was a funny colour and looked strange.
I know where you're going with this.
You appear to have brought that in.
Yes, it's an unusual looking beer. It's almost grey in colour.
It is.
I think it's supposed to be a sort of a dark. If you hold it up to the light, it's still grey.
Yeah, mine's almost more brown. And you put it down beside yours, it looks purple almost.
Yes, I think it's supposed to be purple because this.
Is this going to kill me? Are you going to be like the woman in Australia that poisoned everyone with a beef Wellington? Is it a beef Wellington beer? Is it?
It's not a beef Wellington beer. It's called Grape Gas.
Okay.
And it was very expensive because it's from that America.
Oh, it's American?
Yes. From the 450 North Brewing Company in... Let me find where they are from. Columbus,
Ohio?
No, not Ohio. Columbus, Indiana. The lesser known Columbus.
That sounds like one of these places where the population of the town is written on a sign by hand.
Yes, with bullet holes in it.
Big silo.
Yeah. Yes, so yeah, that's what it is. It is a Concord grape, banana, and vanilla grape drink. With artificial Bavarian cream flavours, which really, I mean, really got me.
We are stretching the definition of beer
we
here.
We really are, aren't we? But it's 5.3%.
Okay.
It cost me a fucking fortune.
Where did you get it from?
That place on Solnitsyn, which I haven't been to for ages, so I thought I'd have a poke around. And I sort of liked the label, so that was it. And then, but I didn't check the price, which was silly. 290 crowns for this can.
Oh, wow.
I mean, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous nonsense.
That is, I mean, that's a London... That, we were paying less in London.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
You still got that? It just, are you just... You got that wanton disregard for money like we had in...
No, I was genuinely shocked when the price came up. I mean, you know, I've had rounds cost less than that. Yeah. But anyway, shall we?
So this is 20% of the of our sponsorship value of Big Ange number 5.
Big Ange number 5.
So this is going to be grape, as in the Americans' understanding of grape, which doesn't taste like grapes to me.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh God! It smells of
It smells of Kool-Aid.
It smells of Kool-Aid and like sort of out of date Parma violets.
It's interesting on the nose.
Even smelling it, I can smell the grittiness to it. just through sheer smell.
It's just.
Shall we? Let's dive in.
Oh my God, we...
Oh, Jesus. Henry Christ.
Should I drink it like a...
It's really sweet.
The enamel on my teeth has disappeared. That's fucking so weird.
It is right, weird. I don't know what it... I can't place it.
Right, I'm gonna say this right now, David and listener. This is not a beer.
It's not a beer. But that's there again. It tastes slightly of Parma violets towards the end.
Do you know what? If you just like it tastes like a vape.
Right, you would know about that.
I would know about that. I have a crushing nicotine addiction. I'm not addicted to this though. Like, at the same time, I keep going back to it. I don't know what I'm expecting to change.
I mean, it's once the first initial shock is out of the way, it's still not good.
I'll tell you what, though, David.
What's that?
I'll tell you what. You could absolutely, especially because of the percentage on it, it's 5.2 or something,
5.3,
right?
5.3, yeah.
Yeah. You could wake up with a stinking hangover on like a Sunday morning, right?
Oh,
and you
yeah.
could just chin that without thinking, like you would a bottle of lemonade or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I bet
you would get, I bet that would just sort you out immediately.
I bet it would actually, yeah. That's the case to be made for it. The most expensive hair of the dog in the entire city of Bono.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it. This is the problem. It feels to me like what, and this maybe suggests that I have a problem, David. It's what I would, you know what I would usually refer to as a breakfast drink on an away day?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, if this was in any way affordable, this is good train cans, isn't it?
Great.
Yeah, so there we go.
Bring back Viper Hard Seltzer, that's what I say. But thank you, David. That's a very interesting beer. It's very interesting.
Drink.
Alcoholic grape flavoured beverage.
Yeah, with genuine imitation Bavarian sugar or whatever the hell it was boasting. Yes.
It's just an insight into the American mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, and we need more of those. Anyway, we've got one more preview.
We do.
And it was...
Cromier Riche.
The place whose name written down, as described by Joe, was as looking like the back end of a porcupine.
Call me Steve Winwood, David, because it's time to hear about Cromier Riche! Cromier Riche!
Okay.
Good.
All right, Steve.
Or as most people would call them, just Hanatska Slavia. So let's call them Hanatska Slavia. So we only have a few games to go. So this is our penultimate league game.
Yep.
And then after that, we'll have, I think it's the 1st of November is this match, and then we'll have Sparta beat. And then I think the 13th?
It's the last game before the winter break is the cup game against Hradec Králové. Yes.
Which is actually perfect, because if something happens and someone's injured for 6 weeks because exactly, of the crunching tackle, who cares? And then we'll...
I mean, they might, but...
Well, sure. But I mean, a few short weeks, we're going to have to follow a different sport for the next few months until the winter break has been completed. Or you can follow Ange and Fisher FC, just a plane ride away, baby. So...
Wow.
Two things to note about Hrnecká Slavia Kroměříž. It's a good away day.
It is a good away day.
I'm looking forward to next year. This is a home, though. And the team look awful. So, bottom of the league, 11 goals all season. Started off with 9 straight losses. And yet, there may still be hope. 2 wins on the bounce, 3 wins in 4, yeah. 9 points. That's all they have. So no draws, no nothing, just 3 wins, 9 points, and it's a start. And surprising, isn't it, David? Because who was their first victory?
I don't know.
Against Opava.
Yeah.
Imagine being going unbeaten the whole season and that's your first loss. Mm. the others are understandable. Slavia B are not a good side.
No.
Česká Budějovice are wildly inconsistent. And that's, again, secondary. They just want to have the club surviving the season. And I think probably Budějovice will probably achieve that aim at this point.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
They'll be 13th or something.
Yeah, they looked incredibly ropey at the start, but they've sort of pulled themselves together enough that I think they'll probably be fine.
So I think they'll be okay. But yeah, I mean, last season, Kroměříž won the third tier pretty convincingly. So they won by 6 points, only 1 loss. And naturally, you look to strengthen your squad when you come up for the new season. I don't think there's any geographical excuses, because you're 20 kilometers from Zlín, 30 from Mohorská Hradiště, 60 from Olomouc, slightly longer distance from Brno. So if your club is in central Bohemia, you know, take into account that most footballers are based in Prague or around it, it's a bit easier to get good loans in, but should still be good enough in some respects. The thing that just gets me about the squad, and I was looking through it in quite a lot of detail yesterday, is that they had 12 loans in, which seems excessive.
A lot of loans.
But they all seem to have had game time. Like, this is the thing that's sort of like, this points to the problem, right? Because you're bringing in these low knees, possibly, you know, staggered, and I don't know. You keep losing, and this is the problem. They just kept chopping and changing all the time. Something was wrong, something, you know, oh, we'll have to just tweak this, do this, give someone a couple of matches. And it just wasn't really working at all. And how are you supposed to be able to interact with each other on the pitch if you're not familiar with these things? So there's no stability in the squad. And on top of that, 5 or 6 permanent signings, many which I do not consider to be good enough at this level or good enough at this level anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 5 years now, count them, since Robert Bartolomeu left Borovka Brno.
Yep.
The nice thing about him is that he's a sort of a jack of all trades. So, you know, he can play on the wing, he can play right midfield. They had him as a centre forward at some point.
Also, just fucking loves South Moravia for some reason.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, peak of his powers, he was good as well. I don't know how much is left in him. I mean, he might be the best of a bad bunch in terms of some signings and things like that. For me, Filip Mucha is a crazy signing. So, I mean, rightfully released by us.
Yes.
I almost had an aneurysm when I saw him play out against Žižkov that one time. He's conceded 15 goals in 8 matches.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's back in the number one spot right now for Hrnecká Slavia. Like, I've said this several times, and you've said this several times on this very podcast, he's not a good goalkeeper.
He's not a good goalkeeper, no.
He's not a good goalkeeper. He somehow was able to...
Sorry, Philip, but you're not... you know. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, one of the sort of goalies that'll make you angry at some point. But I think what's worth talking about, or I think if you're of the Zborovka Brno persuasion, which we are, you want to talk about the our interest in this squad, right? Really mixed bag. we've not mentioned him for a while, but William
McClyther
has had a nightmare start. So,
he has, honey, bless him.
So he got sent off in his first match, which meant he was suspended for 3 games. He's and he's appeared on the bench once in their last five matches and hasn't been in the squad for the other four.
Yeah, it's not going well.
I don't think he's a player that's cut out for things, sadly. I think we took a bit of a punt on him because he impressed at a training camp. That's how we got him here. I don't think there's very much in his previous playing history that actually suggests that he's really as good as maybe we were making him out to be at some point. His loan expires at the end of the season. I don't see any way at this point that he isn't getting released by us or bought out or something.
He'll just be back to Colombia, won't he? You'd imagine.
I don't see him. Justin Araujo Wilson, he left Zbrojovka permanently, I believe. So he was sent off in their last match against Opava. He's currently suspended. Obviously, wish him all the best there, but I didn't think that much of the signing of at the time for us, if you remember. And I don't really see what he does aside from running around a lot.
I mean, he was a real disappointment. He came in sort of mid-season last year, looked off the pace, didn't really do a lot. When he came on at the start of the season for the last sort of 5 or 10 minutes against Chebe, he looked like a different player. He was very energetic, like, you know, strong, holding the ball up. I thought, okay, maybe this is the Araujo Wilson that we were after. Yeah. But he's just done nothing. I mean, and that one centre forward position is now so strong in our squad that there's absolutely no way he's getting past, you know, Velich, Rimarenko, Cronus at a push.
And I mean, he's on loan till the end of the season as well, right? So it's not like you're coming back. You're coming back into a team that is hopefully going to be in the first division, right? You're probably coming back from a team that I'm going to say is going to get relegated. And there was always something about, like, because he had, I think it was 4 seasons, if not more, at Jihlava. And my argument was always that if he was as good as some people are making him out to be, he would have been picked up. Because I don't suppose he would have been that expensive to get from Jihlava, you know? One of the smallest budgets. No. So that's not really sort of worked so much. Lukasz Sal has fared a hell of a lot better.
Oh, he's there, is he?
He is. And he's popped up with an assist recently. He's cemented his place in the starting 11. Zdeněk Toman has played almost every match as right back.
Okay.
Well, they'll be coming back to the club in the summer, most likely. Sure. They are young. There looks like there's something about them. We are not going to see them, obviously, in this game because of the loan agreements, right?
You quite liked Sal, I remember, when he came in.
He's got a wee bit of moxie about him. Yeah. That's the thing. And I think that he was quite mature for his age in just how he was sort of playing, how he sort of handled the ball. Not handling the ball, you know what I mean? So we're not going to... We're not going to see him, really, because, I mean, I would imagine that there'll be a thing in the contract that says you can't play against your parent club, like most loans. So we won't see them. One player you will see is Philip Jack, because, I mean, A, he's scoring goals, and B, he's experienced.
Yep.
You might see Mucha in goal, which would be funny. Anything else, I don't really know, because they chop and change so much that... I don't really know. Well, I know what to expect. I expect that we'll win and we're at home and we really should be.
Yeah.
Anything less than that's a real, oh dear,
yes,
cause for concern. So, I mean, if we're going to fuck up any game before the end of the season, it's going to be Sunday of Lashing, especially because it's away. But I would hope that we would just be looking to Cromyogis and saying, like we'll steamroll these guys. Because the last few times we played them, 3-0 win away, we had that crazy 4-3 game.
That's right, yeah.
As well, we were 4-0 up and cruising, and then we just let them go back into it. We're a bit better than that. I say a bit better, a lot better than that team at these days. So, yeah, really got to be aiming for the result, particularly as that's going to be when Opava Tabor takes place as well, two weeks.
So, excuse me, that's about it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us, listener.
Reasonably jam-packed.
Yeah, it's reasonably jam-packed. Yes, but thanks anyway for joining us, listener. Follow us on the socials, @Zbrojovcast, Follow Fisher if you want, at Fisher FC.
Yes, and we're going to be checking in on Fisher in subsequent podcasts and tracking our player as much as we can.
Yes, exactly.
As well, which will be good fun. And like I say, good day out, and we'll hopefully we'll have them over here at some point too.
Yeah. Right, that's it from us. We will speak to you again soon. Tell very much then.
Bye.
Bud Ben Sophia, oh, Bud Ben Sophia, oh, Sophia, Sophia, včera řekla, jdi prý do pekla, a já chci s ní, dneska se zalekla pekla a utekla k ním. Žofie, Žofie, jsem jen tvůj, následuj, vím, kudy do pekla spí. A pojď ven, Žofie, oh, pojď ven, Žofie, oh. Žofie řekla mi včera v žertu, jdi zejtra k čertu, a já chci s ní, dneska se styděla a proto zmizela k ním. Žofie, Žofie, jsem jen tvůj, následuj, vím, kudy do pekla spím. Pojď ven, Žofie, oh! Sophie, oh, Sophie, Sophie, včera řekla, jdi prý do pekla, a já chci s ní, chci totiž na cestu jen svoji nevěstu vzít. Sophie, Sophie, jsem jen tvůj, následuj, vím, kudy do pekla skýl, vím, kudy do pekla skýl, vím, kudy do pekla skýl.